Hello and welcome to the Untitled Queer Podcast. We're coming in with completely insane energies today. I am your host, Cammy, and with me is the always, oh my God, Mabel. I mean, we don't talk about video games, but like, okay.
I like Mario, leave me alone.
Wow. That's probably the most controversial statement I think you ever stated.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure.
That and Hitler was a bad dude. That was like fucking next level, man.
I know, I know how brave I was to go up and go, Hitler, bad man.
Yeah. I mean we have different energy. I've just bitch to you off mic about some incredibly stupid things that have been happening in my life. So, I mean, hey, jumping off of that just upsetting 3 hours I had, how are you?
I am well. I am still sort of recovering from having coffee for the first time.
Which is beyond ridiculous. I don't, it just. There are two types of people in this world: people who can handle coffee and are boring, and people like you.
who jacked the coffee up with like a shit ton of hot chocolate powder, so it was like really sugary too, and basically felt like I had the speed of a goddess, and also had an anxiety attack. So
So you were Bayonetta.
sure,
Anxiety Bayonetta.
it was a moment. I couldn't sit. I could not sit down for more than a minute for like 2, 3 hours.
Oh my gosh, so you're just like literally bouncing off the walls.
I was pacing. We went for multiple walks because I just needed to get rid of the energy, like a goddamn dog. Just like, let me out, so I can actually get rid of this.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's. Yeah, again, I don't. It's hard to wrap my brain around it because I've even, you know. The harder things have definitely entered my, like, system, even like through like, you know, going into surgery, and I'm just like, you know, I got like eye or teeth surgery, like to get out my molars, and they're like, oh man, Cameron's gonna be so crazy, and I'm just like, can I go to bed like after I wake up? Like,
See, like, I don't think drugs and my brain interact well.
yeah, even the lightest of light drugs, sugar, which is just made to make you happy all the time, and coffee, which is just like. Here, feel like you can move more.
I have, like, a full-blown, like, fucking moment. Like,
Just, yeah.
I had a moment where I was literally sad for like 2 seconds and started crying and then immediately got over it.
Wow, I think that's probably like the best you've ever been in your whole life.
Like, it was basically like my bipolar on fast forward. Like, I'm sad. No, I'm fine. No, I'm sad. No, I'm fine.
You lived out a 90s comedy.
I lived out a week of my life in like 2 hours.
Yes. Is that what having bipolar is like? You're like Jim Carrey and you're like, no, yes.
I mean, if it was on like 32 times speed, sure. Normally it's just like, oh cool, I'm depressed for a bunch of days. And then I'm like kind of okay for a bit, and then I'm depressed for a bunch of days.
So it's the Sega 32X of bipolar disorder.
Sure. That was a weird reference, but all right.
You said 32 times, that's the only way my brain
Yeah, I said
works.
32 times because Arlen said that. Like, it was just a random number, I think. Like,
If you don't know who Arlen is, I'm gonna be the Ryan Scott. Arlen is our is the creator of the Los Hero website.
yeah, and also my internet dad.
Yes. Which we've discussed probably before.
Multiple times.
Yes. Again, everything just like, you know, it's my brain is like, you know that science experiment where you put like a little dot of like felt tip pen on like a piece of paper, then you put that piece of paper in water, and then like you like watch the ink separate itself.
Yeah.
That's how I feel today.
Oof.
I'm just like, because again, so much happened. If we're gonna go into personal what's going on with me stuff. I had fucking shitty afternoon shift, and then, like, before that, it was pretty okay. I was hurriedly writing an essay. Like, I woke up at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, I gotta finish that. And then I'm like, well, no, I'll sleep. And then I wake up at 7, and I'm like, I have class. And then I check my phone, and I'm like, I don't have class for the first time in ever. My first class got canceled because the teacher was like, I don't want to get you sick. And I was like, hell yeah, I can spend 4 hours frantically writing an essay, which was about trans poetry, which was not, like, admittedly and strangely, it's like, oh, wow, that was really hard to find because, you know, there's not, like, the Walt Whitman of being trans yet.
Yeah.
You know, the closest thing you have is Laura Jean Grace.
For you poetry nerds out there, that was for you.
Yeah. Walt Whitman was, like, really cool in, like, the 1800s, I think, and he was gay.
Okay, that is not an 1800s name. I'm just going to say it.
Well, I don't think... He wasn't, like, a beatnik. He was definitely not 20th century, as far as I could tell.
All I'm saying is it just sounds like a 19th century name.
Yeah. No, definitely.
I mean, like that sounds... That does not sound... Wait, I said 19th century. I meant 1900s.
That sounds
like a 1900s name, not an 1800s name.
It's definitely, like, a very strange name. But, yeah. That was a whole thing.
Also, alliteration. He's ready to be a superhero. Or was ready to be a superhero. He's dead.
He's still alive. He's, like, 100 and... No. He's literally dead. So dead. But, yeah. And then, so I'm, like, fucking freaking out, like, trying to write that shit. And then I, like, barely finish, and I'm like, oh, shit, I probably should eat. So I, like, eat a donut, and I, like, have some water, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go to my first class. And then I, like, check my email, and I'm like, oh, hey, my first class is the theater class, and I'm gonna be stage managing for the Laramie Project, which, again, another gay, if you don't know, you don't know thing. It's a play about this gay guy who lives in a small town in the 90s, I think, or, like, the late 80s, and he's out, and he's, like, totally cool, and then he just gets, like, murdered, like, tied up to a fence and dies.
Oh, of course. Gay tragedy.
But it's
my favorite genre.
It's not about that. Well, it kind of is, but it's not. It's not, like, tragedy in the sense of, like, comic book shittiness. It's a play about interviewing the entire town about what happened, and it's like a whole play of just like why these people like think he's an asshole, or like who, like how like the whole town truly feels about this gay guy who died.
You know? All right,
but it's a very interesting thing, even though my school has not had the best track record with being able to be feminist or forward thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think I probably haven't brought it up, but, like, I went to go see, before I was at the school, in high school, I went to go see, they have a production, they did a production of A Doll's House. Do you know what that is?
Sure.
See, this is going to be like Transformers. This is just like Transformers, except it's about old art that's been legitimized by old white dudes. But it's also good. And it's a play about, it's like a very early, like, feminist play about this woman who is, like, married to a guy. It's, like, set in Germany or something. It's, like, a European play, but it's written in English. Or at least it was translated to. It's written by Henrik Ibsen. But anyways, she's, like, in love with this guy, and she's, like...
I'm already uninterested. Straight people.
She, like, hates dating him, and... Like, she's just, like, an object for him to, like, interact with. And, like, oh, we'll do the dance. Because there's a whole, like, the big, like, motif, the moment of the play is, like, her doing this dance, the tarantella. But anyways, when they did the play, they tried to frame it like, oh, no, the husband's, like, repressed also, kind of. Like, they, like, really try to, like, both sides this, like, family
play.
Oh,
God.
I know. Like, even, like, we had to, like, do it, like, we asked the actors after the show, because it was one of those fucking, like, oh, let's ask the people who made the thing about the thing. And, you know, people asked questions, and they were just like, yeah, we really wanted to, like, you know, equalize the amount of justice that every character gets, so they all feel like they have, you know, their opportunity.
I hate these people.
Yeah, and everybody, like, after we saw the show, because, like, theater kids are fucking, like, we're serious. And
yeah.
So everybody, like, bitched and moaned, like, on the bus ride home about, like, why that was awful. And I was like, yep, that sucked.
Speaking of bitching and moaning about art,
all right.
The Oscars, we'll get to it. Actually, I was going to say, my art!
Oh, yeah, your art. Because, again, I've been on a fiery rant mood today, so please go.
So, I am very excited because I am in the process of getting everything set up to shoot a short film in April.
Ooh,
that I'm very excited about. This is the first time I've, like, done, like, a full, like, it's still no budget. Like, you know, it's, like, whatever money I can scrounge up from my own income.
But you're still like, spending money on it rather than, like, it's an assignment that I'll just spend zero on.
Yeah, this isn't even an assignment. This is just for me.
Yeah.
I'm hoping if I can make it really well, like, if I can make it good enough, I'm going to use it as an application film for film schools.
I mean, hey, I think it could work.
So it's based off the script I wrote last year.
Mm-hmm.
When I was doing, like, a short script kick, where I just kept on writing short films, like, every week.
Right. Yeah, you were writing a lot.
Yeah, and this is, like, the best one, in my opinion. It was the first one, and it's weirdly the best one. It's just simple, and it works, and it's just straightforward.
It happens sometimes.
It's pretty short. I really want to shoot another short film. And this is a really good script that I already have. And I really want to make this. And I was like, and I'm planning on applying for film schools. If I can make it well, this could be a really good application film.
Is this lesbian vampires?
It is vampires.
Okay.
And the characters are implied to be queer. But yes. It's not a romance or anything. There's no romance in it.
But they're just, and, like, best friends who happen to be lesbian.
No, it's like a... So, it's like this thing where, like, it's a vampire stalking scene that then turns out to be a commercial for a matching website. It's like a dating website, but instead of dating, it's to find a vampire to turn you.
That's hot.
It's called Find Me a Vamp Sire, because Sire is the name of the vampire who turned you, so it's like a really dumb pun, because I like dumb puns. I have the cast. I cast my film friend Indy. They're playing the role of Parker, one of the main vampires. And then I cast my housemate Jamie. Jamie's playing Amy, the other the character who is turned by the vampire. Mm-hmm. And then I cast my housemate Ellie as, like, there's a final shot of, like, a young woman going to the website after seeing the commercial.
Yeah.
And there's no dialogue for that, but I cast my housemate Ellie for that. I mostly just casted, you know, housemates and this one friend because, you know, I don't know a ton of people for this. So
hey, it's just fine, you know.
Yeah. I sent Indy the script today and Indy really liked it, so that made me really happy.
Hell yeah.
We're gonna do a reading session of the script with Jamie and Indy to see, you know, actor chemistry.
Yeah.
Although if they don't have great chemistry, I don't have a lot of options, so I don't really know what I'm gonna do.
Fly me out. I'll act for you.
I can't afford to fly you out. That's, like, the whole thing. If I could afford to fly you out, I would just, like, go on Craigslist and say, hey, Craigslist, but, like, an actor thing, and say, hey, here's $200. Want to act in this?
And I'd be like, yes, if you fly me out there.
So we're going to do that, and then sometime in March, I'm going to do, like, costuming sessions with each of them. I'm going to go to, like, used clothing stores and get the costumes. I'm using Amazon to buy, like, fake blood and fake teeth or whatever.
Yes. Hell yes.
I have a camera. I have, like, most of the other stuff I'll need, and we're going to shoot sometime in April. I'm going to do some location scouting in March, and I'm going to teach myself color grading.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited. Like, I'm really nervous too because, like, I really like the script and I really hope I can do it justice and, like, make something that's worthwhile. I'm really excited about this project. Like way more than my past short films. Like, the first one I did, which was unrelated to school, was just kind of on a whim. I just wrote a script, grabbed a friend, shot it. It's probably my weakest one because of that. And then the other two were class assignments.
Yeah.
like, I'm really excited about this one. Like, I'm really, really excited, and I really, really hope I do it justice. Like,
I mean, I think you will, because you, like, have, I mean, like, even if it's not, like, you know, that's the fucking shitty thing about art, is that it's like, oh, no, it's, like, not exactly how I pictured it, like, right in my head, but it's like, well, it still works, and it's still good.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to make sure I get, you know, the shots for the edit, and all that, so it's transitions well. I'm gonna try to do my best to get good cinematography. I think I'm getting better at it. My professors, last year seemed to actually like my shot, composition, so... that's good, because my first short film was pretty bad with shot composition. So, I'm really hoping I can, get this, done well. I have some ideas for some of the shots already. And, yeah.
Wow.
Really hoping I do this well. I'm really excited, because, like, my girlfriend Zoe, she's writing the music, probably. She's probably writing the music for it. It depends on if, like, she's not sure if she can fully nail the... because it's, like, a different style of music than she normally does.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to try. So, and then she said she might be able to get a friend that can do it if she can't. So, I'm going to, like, she's probably doing the music or someone she knows. And then Indy, Jamie, and Ellie are doing the acting. And then, like, I'm writing. I'm the cinematographer. I'm editing. I'm color grading. Like, I'm costuming. Wow. Like,
you're doing everything amazing.
I'm just doing a lot. I'm very excited about... I'm technically producing it, since I'm the one putting the money in it. I'm really excited about this, and I'm really hoping I can do it well, because they're like, yeah, no, fingers crossed, like...
Well, I believe in you. Speaking
thank
of
you.
Creativity, back to me. So, yeah. The fucking stage manager, blah, 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 happened. Okay. And then flashback, because last week we didn't record, you know, after the date the episode came out, because that wouldn't have made any sense. So this is the previous week. And on Thursday night, there is this fucking corny, horrible little thing. Not horrible. It's nice. I don't know why I use horrible. But it's like this nice little stupid thing that my school does called, like... the name of my school, Coffee House, which basically just means there's coffee in, like, those, like, Gatorade jugs of, like, different kinds, and there are people who perform, like, their writing or, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, that sounds, like, dumb enough for me to do, you know? I'll enjoy that. And so... I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll go, teacher. I'll see you there. And he's like, cool, I'm in charge of it. And then a friend of mine who's, like, this nerdy, like, oh, acoustic, like, sad boy person. But he's really nice, and he's dating this girl who's, like, one of my best friends. Really cool people. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to perform. And I'm like, cool, I'll see you there. And so, like, that's all set up. And so I show up, and there's two different sets. In the first set, I'm like, hey, teach, I didn't really sign up. But he's like, yeah, that's you don't sign up before, and you sign up, like, the day of. And I'm like, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
So, hey, I'm going to do some poems. And he's like, all right, cool, you'll do some poems. I'll write that down. So I do that, you know, and I wait for, like, 7 or 8 people before me. It's, like, a long time. It's, like, a whole hour of people just, like, performing their writing. And even teachers come up, and they're like... for 7 pages, because they don't talk into the microphone clearly enough.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow, I heard you say nipple one time. That happened. Teacher, the only word I heard was nipple, and I was like, I'm very glad for you that I only heard nipple, I guess. Hilarious.
Damn.
But yeah, and then, like, everybody else is, like, very... Again, I'm tooting my own horn. By the lead up into this, everybody's just, like, very straightforward. They read their thing, and they're like, all right, thank you. And so I go up, and I do, like, kind of like a boring, like, sad one, and I do, like, a second one that's, like, a little bit funny, and there's, like, the first, like, littlest, tiniest reaction other than applause at the end of, like, people, like, a light chuckle, you know? And I'm like, cool. Better than just nothing, and I, like, face-planted on this terrible joke about how cats push things over, and that's a metaphor for a poem. Anyways, so I'm like, oh, hey, people laugh. And then they're like, second set'll start in 10 minutes. And I'm like, hey teach, what if I tell some stories? But I'm way awkward, just like super coffee house, just like, could I like do some stories, professor? And he's like, yeah, that sounds great. Just like super nice. And I feel like I've told these stories on the show before. Have I told the story about how when I was in high school, I met somebody who told me about pulling their own teeth out? Yeah, and so I tell that story, which gets like this weird, like, that's fucking weird and also kind of funny reaction thing. And then I also tell the story about when I picked up a random stranger after a concert and he made me drive him around.
Damn.
Yeah, did I talk about that in the show?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, if you need me to tell a story real quick, basically I go see Phoebe Bridgers and Julian Baker, all these like lesbian singer-songwriters. It's super sad and good. And then I'm walking home after the concert, and a guy, this black guy, is like, "Hey man, can I have some money?" I'm like, "Totally, sure. Here you go. Like, $12. Here's my cash. Like, I don't care." He's like, "Yeah, I need some money for the bus or whatever." And I'm like, "That's fine. I have no problem giving you money. I will give anybody money as long as it's one person." Then I'm like, "Dude, I don't have any more money." So my idea is like, "All right, that means goodbye. Like, I'm not need to talk to you anymore." And then he's like, "So, you take this road home?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Just straight up, like, I'm like, "Yeah, that's the highway that I use to go home." And he's like, "Can you give me a ride?" And I just sort of awkwardly, just like, "Yeah, totally. I'll give you a ride." And he's like, "Yeah, man, thanks so much, man. Thanks so much." And he keeps saying that over and over again, like throughout the entire evening. Like any little conversation we'll have in the car later on in the evening, whatever, he's like, "Oh, thank you so much," even if it's like silent for a few minutes. So I'm like, that's a little bit overcompensating. But before he does all this, he like proves to me that he's not like a drug addict or like a crazy person. He's like, "Feel my arm."
Oh my God.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
So
that's weird.
I like feel his arm. His bicep is like as hard as a rock. Like it's
Damn.
insane. Like I just it was what? And he like was flexing really hard. But I was like, that's still like ridiculously swole or whatever. Not something I'm into, but appreciate it. Appreciate the work ethic, I guess. And so he gets in my car. I like try and warm it up. It's like mid-January. It's really cold. And we're driving around. He's like, "Hey, can you take me to my cousin's house? I need this special kind of paint because I'm a house painter for all these homes." And I'm like, "Sure, no problem." So we drive all the way there. We park, and he's like, "Hey, turn the lights off when I go in the car, when I go in the house." And that weirds me out because I'm like, I don't know why I should do that, besides the fact that it's 11 o'clock at night and probably people don't want the lights on. But it still seems like, is that a drug signal? Like, I was totally just, huh? Didn't understand. And so I'm just like sitting there. I'm like, please don't like get shot or something, have an argument in the house. Like, I don't want anything bad to happen. Like, please, everything, keep it cool. And then as I'm like sitting there, there's like all these cars parking like in the, the lot, like not the lot, but like the driveway and like this street around me. And like all these people are like walking to the house. And I'm like, that's really strange. And they're all wearing black. Like they're all just like very kind of somber looking. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And then he gets out of his house and he's like, "Oh man, they didn't have my special painting brush and blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And then he's like, "Oh yeah, those people just came back from a funeral." I'm like, "What?"
This story keeps getting weirder.
It's incredibly weird. And I'm just like, "Oh, okay." And then it's like a really long way towards his house. We have like a lot of time to awkwardly make conversation. And at one point, I had like this playlist that had a Tears for Fears song on, or like something from like the Breakfast Club soundtrack. And he was like, "How do you know about this song?"
What the fuck?
And that, like, really confuses me, because I'm like, does this man, like, not, like, exist online, or, like, know people younger than him? Because he's also, like, I think he admitted to being, like, 50-something.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So he's, like, a dad. And I'm just like, oh, I've got parents who listen to this kind of music. Dad's just like, I guess that's my excuse for knowing what a Tears for Fear song was. And he's like, oh, okay. They taught you, or whatever.
Oh my god, they taught you? Like, as if, like, man, parents really need to teach their kids how to have taste in music, or they might listen to the wrong shit and go down the wrong path.
It was such a weird thing to say.
Yeah, holy shit!
And, yeah, and that's not even, like, the worst of it, because he was, like, pretty nice, and, like, it was January, and it's, like, February now.
Yeah.
I had like, my long hair, and he's like, you got, like, long hair, and I'm like, yeah, you know. And he kind of, I don't know how it came up, it was, like, still, like, it was recent enough to where I can, like, tell the whole story, but it's, like, long enough to, I don't remember the detail of, like, how it came up, and he's like,
gotcha.
Are you gay? And I'm just like, whoa. It's kind of like when I first signed up for community college classes, my, like, counselor lady was like, oh, you want to be a journalist. Are you a Democrat or Republican? And I was
what
like,
the fuck?
Excuse me? And, like, I didn't say that, but I was just, like, very sheepishly and just like, I can't believe you asked me that question, ma'am. Just was just, like, straightforward and was just like, yeah, Democrat. And then she went on this whole thing about how Republicans are stupid and how she hates them. And I was like, oh,
I mean, fair, but
yeah, like, I just did not expect that level of, like, discourse in my conversation about what classes I should be taking. Like, I really
had
a straightforward, to the point, like, nothing conversation. And, but yeah, it was like that, where I was just like, and then just kind of answered straightforwardly, like, yeah, gay, kind of. You know, it's a hard thing to explain when it's like, you know, a trans thing. I'm not gonna be like, hey, 50-year-old, I'm gonna give you a whole lecture on something that's none of your business.
Yeah, no, valid.
Like, it's just, yeah, and that was like really
me in like Lyft rides, like, misgender me. Yeah, I'm not touching that right now. I'm trapped in a car with you and I don't know you.
Yeah, I don't wanna deal with any of this. I don't wanna talk to you. Can you just take me to my place and I'll thank you very much and I'll give you money.
Like, yeah, exactly.
No,
like, I'm just gonna put my headphones in and ignore you now. Let's just this is a transactional relationship, man.
Yeah. I don't need to be friends with everybody I talk to, okay? God, I feel it like anytime I talk to anybody, but that's a whole other thing. So yeah, we're like driving around, and then we finally get to his house, and he's like, I need to get a few things, and then we need to go. Can you take me to like a grocery store? And I'm like, we're at your house in my head. Like, I'm just like, dude, this is like the end of everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fine, I'll take you. And
so Jesus, how long were you stuck with it? This keeps going.
Oh, it's like a long time. Like, it was like, whoa. Like, I really put myself in a situation. And so he like goes in his house and then he comes back with like whatever he needed. And he's like, oh yeah, my kids were like, why didn't you let them inside? And I was like, yeah, I probably wouldn't have wanted to hang out with your kids. Just straight up, like, not really, you know, my thing.
Yeah.
And that was like, okay. And so he's like, all right, like, take it like a right here. It's like right outside of his neighborhood. And I'm like, thank God. So we pull into this thing and it's like a liquor store. And I'm like, all right, cool. That's like what you wanted. And he's like, do you want anything in there? I'm 19. I think I've said that a few times, like, throughout the conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no thanks. I don't want anything from liquor store. He's like, you sure? I'm just like, yeah, I'm good, man. No
oh
problem.
My god.
Yeah.
That's wow.
And, like, the weird thing about it is, like, he's, like, again, he keeps on saying, like, oh, thank you so much, man. And he's also like, hey, I'm gonna get paid in a week and a half. I'll give you, like, a third of my pay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, I kind of wanted to be like, yeah, I'll take some of your paycheck just because I drove you around, but I'm like, why would I want to keep this relationship going?
Yeah, like, what the fuck, man?
Like, yeah, and then so he goes to the liquor store, he comes back out, and I finally drive him back to his house. It's like the end of everything. And then he gets out of the car, and he walks over, and like the door's still open. He thinks for a second. He's like, "Hey man, can I have your phone number?" Like again, like for the money thing. And I'm just like, and he's like, "Hey man, have a good night," and then closes the door and walks into his house.
Wow, that went well.
It went so well, and the way I like try to compensate this, like as it, when it happened and like afterwards to other people when I told the story, I was just like, "Yeah, I totally like prove that I'm like, St. Louis
Yeah.
isn't dangerous, and like, my city is not like scary just because there's people of color like walking around the streets, Be or because the
Yeah.
roads are bumpy." But in reality, it was like you let a stranger in your car for 3 hours. Anything could have happened. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So yeah, I told that story, and everybody was like, "What the fuck?" Also, huh? Hilarious. Thank you. And then, like, again, everybody else was very like, "Huh." And this is what about a poem about when my cat died, or like people who did an open letter to my friends, and it wasn't a poem, and it wasn't an essay, and it wasn't anything. It was just like, "Thanks for being good friends, friends," in like the most plain language possible. And I was like, "That's not a poem, like just straight up, not good. Try again, please." And then like they all get thanked. I get thanked for like my poem thing I did in the first thing, and then there's like kind of like the teachers definitely don't want to touch like the, "Hey, you did something that was so not coffee house, like in any way possible. You just told like a 7-minute rant about you not being able to, give yourself boundaries." So,
Yeah.
but then, when I show up to class today, my teacher gives me this letter and he's like, "Really, really good. You have a strong presence and a strong voice. Blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, "Thank you very much."
Nice.
Yeah. So that's everything.
All right. So,
Ostrich.
I was literally about to say, so speaking of everything, the everything of movie awards happened, and it was way worse than the Spirit Awards, which were great, everybody. Seriously, every year watch that instead of the Oscars. They're like a million times better.
The Spirit Awards are better, and it's all like the Spirit Awards would have been better even if like everything around the Spirit Awards was bad, but they had John Waters, and I'm like, hell yeah, John
Also,
Waters.
he gave the best diss to Bohemian Rhapsody when they did the cutaway to him, and they're like, "So you're directing our TV thing here?" And he's like, "Yeah, but just like Bohemian Rhapsody, it directs itself." Which is like a great like Bryan Singer diss. No, I fucking loved the Spirit Awards, but we're not here to talk about the Spirit Awards. We're here to talk about the clusterfuck that was the Oscars.
The mediocre and boring clusterfuck that was the Oscars.
Yeah.
Because again,
It really, it was really kind of just mediocre. It became a clusterfuck at the end.
Well, it's like, it wasn't a Moonlight situation where, like, there was, like, this weird everything. It was more like, it was like when, because right
It's
before the
like,
final award, Samuel L. Jackson is like, Green Book,
yeah, like it started off like really good with a lot of good awards, and then it got really bad, like bad in the middle, and then it sort of like started alternating, and then at the end it just was bad. Like it started off with like a lot of cool awards, like a lot of Black Panther stuff, which was great. Black Panther now has three times the award, the Oscars that Suicide Squad has, which thank God. I'm still pissed about that year, by the way. Star Trek Beyond was right there for hair and makeup. I'm just saying the practical alien designs in that. In that fucking movie were way better than any of the shit in Suicide Squad.
Excuse me. There was a guy who could climb anything.
Oh my god. Like, Killer Croc legit looked bad.
No, he looked really
Like,
terrible.
fucking hell. That was a bad. Anyways, that's an old Oscars thing. We're here to talk about the new Oscars, which gave best screenplay. I mean, best adapted screenplay. No, best original screenplay. Best original screenplay and best picture to Green Book.
No, I think it was adapted, wasn't it?
No, adapted was BlacKkKlansman because it was based off a book.
That's right, okay.
Green Book was just based off a true story, but it wasn't specifically adapted from anything.
That's fucking stupid. Awards are dumb. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. They really don't. But yeah, fucking hell. Green Book winning it was bullshit, though Spike Lee had some amazing reactions.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite? My favorite was, the fucking, when, like, he was asked by, like, these two British guys, they were like, are you journalists or whatever, were you offended? What offended you about Green Book? He's like, offended? And they're like, yeah. He's like, are you British? And then one guy goes, yeah. He's like, and he goes to the other one, are you British? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, and Spike Lee goes, then Spike Lee is like, so I'll use a British, turn of phrase then. It wasn't my cup of tea. And then he, like, started bouncing around cackling like a madman. He was so proud of his own joke.
Spike Lee is so, like, fucking weird.
Yeah, and then the other one was when he was like, yeah, because about driving Miss Daisy, too, he was like, yeah, anytime someone drives somebody else, I lose.
Spike Lee is, like, a more, like, crazy but cool and, like, less shitty Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's such a good description of him.
Because it still does, like, because there was that thing at the Golden Globes however many years ago where Quentin Tarantino's like, I can't believe that Ennio Morricone did the score for my movie. And he was, like, super drunk.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's totally Spike Lee, but Spike Lee is just, like, laughing.
Fun when he does it, and less uncomfortable. Yeah. No, I love him. He was apparently super pissed about Green Book winning, and, like, mood. But, apparently, he apparently tried to leave. And they didn't let him.
That's so fucking dumb.
He literally tried to leave!
He was literally, like, the gif, like, the lady, like, picking up her purse and walking away.
Yeah. I respect him so much. Yeah, no, at least he won for Best Adapted Screenplay. Yeah. That made me happy. Like, he got something. But, like, I'm just pissed about Green Book. Fuck that movie. Fuck everything it stands for. Fucking Seth Meyers literally just did a whole bit about how terrible that movie is.
Yeah. When Seth Meyers makes, like, a whole bit about how your movie's terrible, like, it's really easy just to reconsider it. It's like, I'm the most lowball fucking dude, Seth Meyers.
Yeah!
Movie, hardcore.
Yeah, like, brutally. Like, it was brutal, and Seth Meyers is not that good. Like,
there's a reason why he had Martha Stewart on, like, 7 times within, like, the first 3 months of him doing the show.
He's literally the guy I watch when there's nothing else to watch.
Yeah. God, but yeah, like, Green Book is, like, the big, disgusting, like, bulbous growth on, like, this year's Oscars. But, like, everything else is very interesting. Like, we got Olivia Colman to win.
Coleman's
a shit.
Bohemian Rhapsody, though, won Best Editing, which is the most bullshit. That movie has bad editing!
I mean, there's literally, like, the best, like, Twitter tweet about that, like, ever.
Yeah, it has this scene where it's just, like, constant cutting.
Yeah.
Just, like, to the point that it's distracting and uncomfortable.
And it's like, weird, because I watched the movie, and I watched it with, like, my whole family, and, like, I didn't, like, think about that, but I was definitely like, wow, this, like, looks fucking weird, the whole movie, except for the montages. Like, that movie looks weird.
Yeah. Someone theorized that it's because the Queen band members wanted, like, had, like, fucking contracts for screen time for their, what people play them.
Oh my god.
And so, like, someone theorized that maybe that was it, and if that was it, Jesus, man!
I mean, they were already, like, so ridiculous about, like, the contracting and, like, the inaccuracy-sizing of their...
Oh, you mean where they were the perfect little angels and Freddie Mercury was the one living the rock star life when we all know all of them were?
Yeah. Like, literally. There's no reason to, like, pretend that Brian May totally wasn't, like, snorting coke or whatever.
Yeah, like, come on. Who are you kidding? Like... Yeah, no, but Olivia Colman winning was really cool. She was great, and her speech was so great.
Yes, her making, like, the fart noise and everything, yes.
Yeah, and, like, being, like, super awkward, and I think at one point she was like, sorry, Glenn Close. It was so good. Yeah, no, that was fun. That being said, the Spirit Awards, way better winners all across the board, just saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, they even, like, they nominated Bo Burnham for 8th grade, so they fucking...
And he won Best First Screenplay!
Which he deserved.
Oh, agreed! He was fantastic!
Yeah.
Though my favorite moment in the Spirit Awards is when, they did Best Screenplay, and this lady, I forget what she won it for, but when they were showing the reactions, you could see on Boots Riley's face that he thought he was going to win.
Oh, no, totally. He won for something else, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he won for Best First Feature.
There we go.
And he had already won that, but when Best Screenplay came up, you could see on his face, like, the moment he was like, wait a minute.
What the fuck?
It was fucking great. I love him, but that moment still killed me. It was very funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm here for funny shit like that, even when it's someone I like being disappointed. It was just a funny reaction.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and Aubrey Plaza was a great host. I don't actually think award shows need hosts.
No.
But she was pretty great.
That was, like, regardless. The best part of the Oscars was that there wasn't, like...
Yeah, no, not having a host really worked in their favor.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's like, because I did, actually I didn't, because, again, all the hosty-ish stuff that happened in the show I didn't like. Like, I'm fine with Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph and Tina Fey being funny again. Whatever. But I just, like, I'm so tired of, like, them just, like, doing their annoying blah 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 shtick. They had some, like, okay one-liners. You know, they're nice. And also, like, I'm fucking... I feel like every year they're like, and Barbara Streisand, and everybody stands up just because she, like, exists, and it's like, we get it. Okay? You were cool once. We don't need to constantly stand up for Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was...
Michael Keaton was, like, there, and that was cool, but he was also at the Spirit Awards, and he also did a Bohemian Rhapsody test. The fucking... When he was presenting... I think he presented Best Picture at the Spirit Awards. Mm. And his fucking... He was like... So yeah, although we are here to celebrate, like, these independent films, and we don't have this stuff, he's like, I would like to give a shout-out to Rami Malek's teeth from Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. Which is, like, strangely, like, the most Michael Keaton-ass thing to say, because he's, like, such a weird, like, awkward man.
I fucking love him. Like, straight up. He's great.
He's, like, yeah, no, he's so cool.
Yeah, I think he was the one at the Oscars who made the joke about cinematography getting cut or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one who made that joke, and I was like, yes, thank you. I love Michael Keaton. He's great. Also, Samuel Jackson was great.
Samuel Jackson.
When he had that bit with Spike, where he's like, hey, I just want to get this out. He's like, Spike, we have a huge announcement. The Knicks finally won a game after, like, 19 losses in a row. And Spike's face. Spike was just like, it was like the most, like, very much like between friends, like, fuck you face.
Yeah. That's, yeah. God, Spike Lee, what a just a cool dude.
He literally had a purple suit and a purple, he was Waluigi.
Which he did to represent Prince or whatever. My mom told me that he's, like, tributing Prince. I don't even, which, like, again, cool, I guess.
Yeah. Spike Lee kills me. Also, okay, fuck the Oscars for bringing up John Lewis to introduce the Green Book.
Who?
Like, he's like, I think, a civil rights guy.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a congressman.
Yeah!
Like, at, like, Selma.
And they brought him up for Green Book, and, like, it was very much the most... We're gonna give this film an award, but don't worry, we have black friends moment.
Yeah. Don't worry, we have, like, literally, like, the last person who you know who is done
from the civil rights. Yeah.
Like, he, like, I mean, he doesn't look happy to be, like, anywhere. Like, even if he shows up on The Daily Show, he's just kind of, like,
grumpy old man. Honestly, like, he never looks happy even if he is happy, so I don't know how he felt there.
Yeah, he was just very, like, reading the cue card, very annoyed.
Yeah, but, like, that's how he is at all times, so I really don't know how he actually felt, but I'm going to lean towards meh.
Meh, yeah.
I'm like, sure he, like, I don't think he would. I don't think he would do it if he was, like, super against it. But I also don't think he really gave a fuck.
Yeah. Well, it's not like, again, it takes a little bit of digging. It's not like Birth of a Nation or something where it's like,
yeah,
straight up.
Yeah. Like, God, fuck that movie. Also, the people who made it turned out to be assholes. Like, Twitter immediately dug up dirt on them, which was amazing.
Well, it was like a week ago, or, like, a month ago, where somebody would, like, apologize for, like, anti-Semitic jokes, or, like, anti-Muslim joke.
Oh, yeah, so, basically, two guys both apologized, and, one of them was the director for whipping out his penis in front of women.
Oh, my God.
And the other one was one of the writers for going, yeah, Trump, you're right, American Muslims did cheer 9/11.
Jesus, fuck. That's just, like, it's, like, literally right in front of you. There's no subtext.
And then, I only saw the headline for this, so I don't know how true this one is. But, apparently Viggo Mortensen had to apologize for using the N-word while talking about the film.
I think he did. Yeah, no, he was in a discussion with somebody, and he, like, dropped it in, like, a... I think he was like, oh, it's like in an academic sense or something. Just like
you're white. You don't use it in an academic sense.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you just don't say the word. How hard is it to just say the N-word?
Yeah. It's, again, like, also, like, the funniest thing I saw, because, again, I haven't seen the movie and I don't give a shit about seeing it, but, like, and I know that the Oscars are notorious for picking scenes and clips from movies that are awful, that, like, don't represent, like, how good the actor did, or the cinematography, or everything. But literally every scene from Green Book looked so bad. The acting was so awful. We messed up. And for some reason it fucked up. And that's why we continue. So you know what just happened, but we don't. So we were talking about the Oscars, and we've probably mentioned Spike Lee, and then we were like,
We were dissing on Green Book and the problematic people behind Green Book.
Yes.
And it's also sucky because it's, like, based on a true story, but the family of the dude it's based on are pretty pissed about it, so, like, you didn't do a good job.
That's... Everything about Green Book is just...
It's supposedly the story of, like, the doctor, like, the guy, it's, like, his... But the guy playing him is nominated for Best Supporting Actor, and that really tells you all you need to know. The white dude is centered in this.
It's just... No. There's, like... I feel like it might have gotten cut out, but, yeah, again, every scene in Green Book, like, that they showed on the screen was terrible. Like, literally, like, bad acting in every way. And then, the fucking, whoever's dating Kyle Calgren of Brows Held High, Jordan, I think, she was like, yo, hot take, everybody is terrible in Green Book. Because, like, Mahershala Ali got an Oscar, and everybody's like, hey, bad movie, but Mahershala Ali is cool. And I'm like, sure, whatever. But, like, even, like, you know, he was given terrible material to work with. There's that terrible scene in the trailer and in, like, every clip that they show where it's like, oh, I don't know how to write my wife a letter. And then, you know, fucking Mahershala Ali is like, well, let me tell you some really fake, deep, poetic shit.
Yeah.
Write this to your wife.
My personal choice was Adam Driver.
Yeah. And even I thought he wasn't, like, amazing, but he was, like, really good.
I thought Adam Driver was really good in Black Klansman, and, like, Richard E. Grant had won the Spirit Award, who was the other one that I thought... I haven't seen that movie, but I hear he's fantastic. Mm. It was either... And since he had already won the Spirit Award, I was kind of pulling for Adam Driver personally at the Oscars. just because I think it's a really good performance in a movie. That being said, I also think the lead guy should have been nominated. Whatever. Anyways, that's a whole other story of, like, who didn't even get nominated. But also, someone did a great tweet about the Bohemian Rhapsody thing. They were like, Richard E. Grant's speech talked more about AIDS and the epidemic and the problem with, and the harm that came to the gay community during that period than the entirety of Bohemian Rhapsody. His speech at the Spirit Awards. Also, I would like to point out that Rami Malek fucking bi-erasured fucking...
Yeah.
Fucking Freddie Mercury on stage accepting the award, and I'm so pissed about that.
Just because he kissed a woman?
He's like... No, like, he... No, he called him... No, I mean, he is bi.
Yeah.
But called him gay, because, like, apparently if you're into dudes, you're just gay. And, like, as a bisexual person, that sucks. I don't
know how people, like, see that on the internet, or, like, how is it so impossible to just not, like, be constantly bombarded with this information? Like, we're blasting it at you from space and directly into your phone. Like, you have to see this.
Yeah. So, no, I was really pissed about him doing that as a bisexual person. It's like, I love Freddie Mercury. He was a bi icon, and you're just a bi-con. And you're just like, yeah, he was gay. And it's like, come on. Speaking of which, by the way, speaking of movies about queer rock stars, Elton John, who is actually gay, not bi. I say actually gay just because to compare against Freddie Mercury, not to be like, gay is better somehow. Because it's not, they're both valid.
Real one.
Yeah, I just meant like, you know, unlike Freddie Mercury, who you're claiming is gay, Elton John is actually gay.
Yeah.
Elton John, the Rocket Man, that actually looks pretty fun. It looks pretty beat-by-beat generic biopic, but it's visually inventive. And Taron Egerton is actually singing. And holy shit, it's not one-to-one, but it's actually a really good impersonation of Elton John singing. And I'm kinda here for it.
Which, it's so weird, because, like, again, Bohemian Rhapsody, like, enjoyable film. But, like, to, like, bring up, like, oh, man, like... Yeah, Rami Malek, like, wasn't acting, like, you know, the lip-syncing was, like, the sound-alike guy, and I'm like, yeah, like, fair, whatever, but also, like, people just, again, this is, like, a weird nitpick, but it's, like, people just forget that, you know, maybe 60 to 75% of acting is, like, how people move their body, and then, like, the other whatever percent is, like, what the words they say coming out of their mouths are.
Yeah.
Like... He still did, like, a really fucking good job, despite, you know, him being like, yeah, he's gay, and also really just like, oh, what a beautiful man, what a really, wow, like, just having all this stupid, corny shit to say about fucking Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. Also, total side note, but it's about the Oscars. Sean, great left tuber, check him out. He's the most droll man on the internet.
He's great.
he's very monotone, and he's great. Anyways, he tweeted, like, 75% of the way to mentally to rebranding as a film YouTuber, so I can justify making a video yelling about the Oscars and Green Book. Like, I'm gonna change my entire genre just so I can be pissy about this. And I love that.
And then, like, all of his fans, like, tweeting underneath that are just like, Sean, like, it's like, oh, Sean's so pissed, and he's just like, I really didn't like this film, guys.
Yeah, like, he's not gonna be, like, super angry, like, it's gonna be the most calm, boring rant of all time, and that's why I love him.
Just so, like, to the point, just like, personally, it just doesn't really, you know, butter my biscuit.
And here's why it's problematic. I don't understand the emotion of anger.
Yeah. He understands, like, having, like, a slight smile, like, when he's, like, eating or, like, something good happens, and he's just kind of like, interesting.
Yeah. he's the only positive representation of the idea of not having emotions.
Hell yeah.
Because most of the time that's just toxic masculinity bullshit of repressing emotions.
Take that. Brooklyn 99.
Oh, that was a weird...
You don't know,
what?
You You don't, there's like the captain of the police force is.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. He's also great. He's another positive example. I take it back.
Okay.
That latest episode was so good.
Honestly, I haven't watched a full episode of any of that show.
So do you mind spoilers then?
No.
Okay, so I can go on about it?
Yes.
So the guy who played Dopinder in Deadpool.
Okay.
Appeared in the latest episode. The taxi driver in Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
He appeared in the latest episode as, like, a really boring guy sent to spy on the 99 and to try to seduce Holt.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the ways he tries to seduce him is, like, his Windsor knot is, like, half-hide or whatever. And, like, and Holt, and Jake is very confused by all this because Holt's, like, he was practically naked. Like, and, like, flirting for them is, like, going to the barrel museum and talking about barrels because, like, Holt briefly entertains it to try to get dirt on the guy because they think he's spying on them. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's talking about barrels at the barrel museum.
That's very beautiful.
It's so good. I just love the fucking, though, his Windsor knot was at, like, half knot. He was practically naked.
Yeah. But yeah, speaking of jokes in the Oscars, I don't know if you heard about this, but Trevor Noah was at the Oscars for, like, a good however many minutes.
Oh, when he fucking dissed on Mel Gibson?
Yes, but that happened. He dissed on Mel Gibson, which, yes, was very fucking good. But then he does this little bit where he's like, yo, in this, like, I forget whatever African language it was, but he's like, he says all this stuff in African language, and he's like, it means this, and then people actually translated it, and it actually meant, yo, white people have no idea what I'm saying.
Okay, one, that's amazing. Two, that's amazing. And three, that's amazing. And four, I respect the hell out of it.
Hell yeah. Because, like, Trevor Noah is so, like, to the point and, like, punchy about his jokes, it's like, you really fucking, like, get hammered on the head about, like, everything that he's making. And that was, like, just so, like, yo, if you did not get that joke, you, like, are 90% of the population.
Yeah. No, that's great. And also, his Mel Gibson diss really was great.
That was legitimately really fucking good.
Yeah. If you haven't heard his Mel Gibson diss, just look it up on YouTube. We wouldn't do it justice. Like, I don't want to repeat a really good joke.
Just imagine.
Like, especially because I'd be repeating it from memory, so it wouldn't be perfect. Just look it up on YouTube.
Yeah. It's like, there's a Mike Birbiglia thing where he hosts, like, this, award show, and he does a joke with a guy who directed American Hustle. And he's like, oh, yeah, some directors, like, say, like, you do whatever it takes to get the shot. And he's like, and the director of American Hustle says, and he has this long quote from this video that leaked, like, when a different movie came out, of the director, like, yelling at this woman, like, really angrily. He's like,
oh, my God. Quote.
I'm just like, I'm just trying to direct the picture, bitch. Like, why are you screaming at me? Like, this horrible, like, long, like, really serious quote.
And, oh, God.
Yeah. It's like that, but, like, not as literally incendiary.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we covered everything we were gonna talk about.
Yeah, I think so. We only needed 10 minutes more of content.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's around, like, an hour-ish.
Yeah. Which is,
so.
Wow, it's almost like we're a boring podcast.
Honestly, no, I prefer it when we go for, like, an hour to 2 hours, because when it gets 2 hours, it really gets weird and boring.
It really
like,
is.
It's just, like, a lot of pauses, and, like, well, here's some random thing I just thought of.
Yeah, remember when, and you're like, yeah, I already remember.
Yeah.
Right, well, yeah, that's fair. I appreciate that we censored ourselves.
Oh, no, we censored ourselves. Yeah. We're gonna have fans going, don't do that, free speech!
Yeah, oh my god, free speech. How dare I choose my words carefully?
Yeah.
You know what free speech is for those people? It's just, like, saying the first thought that comes right out of your head.
Yeah, and it's like, that's not free speech, that's being a dumbass.
Yeah. So, this is one of many things on the losharrow.wordpress.com. Again, my coin phrase, suck it. And you can find many articles on there. You can find many a podcast. That's basically what all we do here is record podcasts.
And then our mysterious third co-host is the only one who writes articles.
Yes. Who works incredibly hard despite being 16.
Since we talked about Green Book, you should definitely go check out his article on Green Book. It was really
so good.
It's like the best thing on our website, just straight up.
Yeah, like that could be like, you know, a HuffPost blog entry that like gets posted on like regular HuffPost, you know.
Yeah, like it's literally the best thing on our website. Please read it. Like it's so good.
Yes. Now on to worse things. I'm still going to plug my podcast that I do occasionally. It's like The Anthropocene Reviewed by John Green, but instead of it being about an essay about an object or an idea, I interview somebody I care about for way too long, and you get to know a lot more about them. Yay!
Yay!
Eventually, Mabel will be on the episode where it happens, and then eventually I'll have my friend Zach, who I also recorded.
Yeah, they're old now.
Yeah, they're really old. Like, they're so bad that it was, like, in a time in my life where I didn't know, like, how to give myself the time to do something properly, so you're just talking the whole time, and I'm just like, and then you just keep on talking.
Yeah, it's great, and I go by a different name at the time, and also, like, my life is in a totally different place now, weirdly enough. It's great!
Yeah. So you catch that whenever I post it. It's called OneNote Interviews. It's on, you know, all iTunes and everything. Figure it out. You can follow me on Twitter at Cammy, JCam, 2Ms, IE, JCam. See me retweet things, be mildly clever. Check all my likes. See what I like, because what I like is so much better than what I tweet.
Fair.
And Mabel has a Twitter probably, and probably other stuff to promote.
Mostly just a Twitter for now. Still working on my other stuff. You know, I'll eventually have more. Don't worry. You know, things take time. So my Twitter is at film_Haven, which is HEVEN. I mostly tweet about just random shit, movies, how I'm feeling, different stuff. I think I'm fun, personally. I like my Twitter. So that's about all I have to plug for now, so.
Yeah. Well, good. Glad that we can do it the correct way or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck off.
Laters!
Enjoy.